Which Everybody, welcome to the Good Witch podcast. We're so excited today to be talking about the next episode of The Good Witch. We had our break, which was a super downer, but now we're back. It's so exciting. And I'm Rachel, and Lisa's here.
Hey, guys.
Yes, this is your first time, I think, on the Good Witch podcast.
I'm super excited. That means I have 5 seasons of Good Witch opinions to get through. So
right.
Be ready. Okay, woo-hoo. Sorry.
I'm very glad. Okay, and then we have Georgia's here.
Woohoo, hi.
Yes. Okay, so this was a jam-packed episode. A lot going on, and so I'm very excited to talk about it. And since it's your first time on the Good Witch podcast, Lisa, did you kind of binge the series, or have you been watching all along, or what was your experience with it?
Okay, so I binged I started watching... I knew when season 4 was happening, so I binged seasons 1 through 3. I watched season 4, and then I was like, oh, maybe I should watch the movies. I watched a handful of the movies, but then I started getting confused, so I stopped. And then I'm ready. Like, I started season 5, just like everybody else.
Okay, good. Yeah. And what do you think about the show?
Oh, I love it. I mean, you know, it's one of my favorites because this is going to sound ridiculous. But it means that fall is coming. I just really like the colors and overall tone of the show. I'm like, fall is coming, summer's ending. I don't know. I really like all the connections between the family members. I of course love Mayor Martha. You know, at the beginning, I'm sorry, Georgia, if you need to plug your ears while I say this, but at the beginning, I did not like Abigail that much, but now she's one of my favorites. So there, redeemed. Boom.
But at the beginning, I on people.
Yeah, she did.
Okay. Yeah, but. And the writing, I just think it's better. And we're going to talk about one of the ways that it's better than one of the other shows. So I'm very excited today. I agree. It gets that tone right. And the casting is just universally pretty charming. They've had a few misses like Phil. But
that was the character, Phil.
Yeah, it's true.
I only liked his glasses. I only liked his glasses. When he put glasses on, I was like, oh, you're cute. And then at the end, I was like, oh.
Glasses don't make up for a bad personality, Phil.
Yeah. You're right, Georgia. You're right.
Lisa.
Also, I mean, really, we've had 4 interviews from cast members, one same person 3 times, but total 4. So they've probably been the most supportive of any shows of the podcast. So
they're the best.
I guess Chesapeake Shores, we talked to Andrew Francis and Barbara Niven. We talked to Andrew Walker, who was just briefly on When Calls the Heart. We haven't had that good of luck. So When Calls the Heart, folks, email us. We want to talk to more of you. But anyway, so we're very excited about this and this episode. And it starts out with Martha's going on vacation. And we see her, you know, getting everything ready at the office with Luke and Grace there, and we think, oh, she's gonna go to Hawaii, she's gonna go to whatever. And did you just die when she shows up at Gray House?
Yeah. So, I did.
It's hilarious. Like, it was perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, she like activated vacation mode. Like, I'm disconnected. Don't bother me. You cannot access me. I'm going less than a mile down the road.
Hi. Yeah. And just the look on James Denton's face when he sees them was perfect. It was so funny.
It was so well done.
Yeah, that was great. So she's going all staycation on.
Graycation, hello.
But it totally makes sense. Oh, yeah, graycation. It makes sense with her character because why would she want to go anywhere else but Middleton? That's, right. You know, that's her favorite place.
That's very true.
Yeah. I do not understand why on earth they had her husband move to Chicago for like a day last year. That was the weirdest thing.
I know.
It was
always think about it. You see him and it doesn't make any sense. And he's there. So I don't,
like, did they just switch over showrunners right then or something? It's just so odd. But
get rid of everybody. And that's like, oh wait, no, we're changing. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I know. Characters. I'm glad that that they didn't move to Chicago, but I don't know, it was just very funny how TV shows work sometimes. But yeah, and so that's sort of our start, and we'll go kind of back and forth to them. And we see a little bit of Nick playing video games with his friend. It turns out that his friend is super into hockey. He's a hockey player. And I kind of liked it when Sam got in and started playing the video game along with Nick. That was kind of fun. And yeah, and so then we start to see, we see Abigail. She loves Donovan's dog.
She bought Klondike. A toy. Oh, yeah. She bought Klondike a little squeaky toy. That's my favorite thing. I love it.
Yeah. It's a pretty cute dog. And then we meet Donovan's mother. And here's where I'm making my comparison. Donovan's mother already is way better than anybody that we've ever gotten from the Pecks in Chesapeake Shores. The Chesapeake Shores, the Pecks were supposed to be like these evil rich people who are like conspiring, and they end the season buying Jess a restaurant, you know, whatever, an inn, and like they never do anything at all. It was so disappointing. And here you've got this like truly like duplicitous, like evil mother. And I'm like, yes, already they've executed that character in one episode.
Is she evil? Is she actually evil?
Are you kidding, Georgia? She's literally standing over Luke's head saying, oh, you know, we're paying for your college, and we're, you know, like she's orchestrating both a like secret thing with Grace and a secret thing with Abigail.
Rachel, my jaw is dropped. It is on the floor right now because we were at the end. If we're going there already, we're led to believe that she's trying to break the curse so that her son doesn't get hurt, right? Isn't that the whole thing? She's trying to break the curse so that Donovan doesn't get hurt?
I think she wants to break the curse because she believes in the curse.
She does believe in the curse, but if she believes in the curse, then that means that Donovan's going to get hurt. But if she wants to break the curse and have it not be relevant anymore, that's because she's trying to protect Donovan because she wants Abigail to stick around, right?
I think she wants to control her son.
Well, probably just like, partly, yes.
Yeah, just like the Pecks wanted to control their son, except for they never did anything. Yes. So, Lisa.
I don't want to ditch it, but I love it.
Lisa, your thoughts?
Am I the tiebreaker in this scenario?
I thought that she was very evil from the staging, the way that she was, like her voice, everything about her was like, yeah, Ice Queen, I love it.
Yeah, she did come off very villainous, and I was very much wondering what her agenda is. I see your point, Georgia. I'm like, why would she care that much? Why does she want to buy the flower shop? Is she trying to like take over? Like, none of it makes sense right now, but I'm interested to see how it goes.
I'm just saying, we can go back to earlier episodes. I called this whole scenario with Luke being in on it with, I thought it was Donovan, but it ends up being Donovan's mom, which is just one degree off. I knew what he was doing. I knew why he was doing it. I maintain that they're all looking out for Donovan and everybody
else. You know what, Georgia? And I really did yell at my TV. I was like, Georgia was right. They were right with Luke. And yeah. I was like, oh, yes.
Lisa, you're the best. Thank you.
I think there's some kind of land thing with this. Like, what if like she secretly is gonna somehow conspire to somehow get Gray House, or there's some kind of family thing that she's gonna like pay in revenge for, and Rachel, it would be amazing.
No, if this is another land trust thing,
I'm out.
Land trust, but just like there's something that she's gonna kind of get in revenge, like for her family.
I honestly think that we're supposed to think that she's evil because she's actually turning out to be somebody who's looking out for Donovan because she wants him to be happy and she believes in the curse.
That would be very Hallmarky.
Why does she lord the tuition over him if it's all in good? Wouldn't she just be like, okay, this is for your cousin. Like, do you want him to be happy or not? Do you want him to die from the curse?
I'm not saying she's some like great person, but I think her motives here are probably a little more pure than they're letting on right now.
That would be very Hallmarky, and I will be very disappointed because I just want somebody that's deliciously evil and fun, and I was just loving it. And I forgot to write down the actress but I thought she was great.
I know her from something. Yeah.
That really deliciously, like, I just feel like she's going to be conspiring to, there's something that the Marowicks have or something that she's somehow conspiring to get. And we'll find out at the end that, like, whether it's Grey House or whether it's some, they're going to be talking about treasure next week. It could definitely be involving that for sure. So I don't know. That's what I think.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watching on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
I think I disagree with you. I think we're supposed to think she's evil and she has some kind of lesson to learn, but that ultimately she's looking out for him. I'm not saying she's a saint, but I think she's probably trying to protect her son, is what I think.
You're probably right. It's very disappointing.
I could be wrong, Rachel. She's evil right now. That's really.
That was so fun. But yeah. okay. I have been defending Adam from all y'all's critiques of Adam. But I have to say, any human being that's known for ordering a BLT without mayo and tomato on the side has lost my vote.
This is where we lose him, really?
Yes, because a BLT is a perfect sandwich. It's perfect.
He's a serial killer.
I'm sorry, but that is like ridiculous nonsense. There's only like 5 ingredients in a BLT. And if you're putting it on the side and no mayonnaise, like, you're crazy. And can't support you anymore.
Okay, as hilarious as it is, what do we know Lisa's feelings on Adam?
I have several feelings on Adam.
I feel like we need a base here so that we can all...
Okay, I'll try and make it real quick, okay? Because I know we have the rest of the episode to get to. But anybody who tricks somebody into going on a date with them and making them cook their own date dinner is a no-go in my book.
Lisa, I'm literally bowing down to you right now. I completely agree.
Like, dude, seriously, just y'all are all adults. This isn't like some 17-year-old you have to beat around the bush and be like, maybe we go and, I don't know, everybody, like a group of us, and we could just hang out. No, ask her out. Yeah. Go up there and be like, hey, I've decided I'm over my previous ex-girlfriend and I'd like to try something with you. I have that dinner date. Why, instead of me making you cook it, why don't we go somewhere else and we can donate this to somebody else so somebody else can, you can cook for them. I don't know.
That's how you do it. That's how you make Adam likable. See?
Yes. And I know that's, maybe it was you, Rachel. Somebody was like, well, then Stephanie's dumb because she didn't realize. No.
That's me.
If somebody came to me and was like, okay, yeah, I'm bringing somebody here. You have to cook for us. I wouldn't be like, oh, it's me.
But awesome. He had repeatedly asked her out. He was obviously interested in her.
No, he had not. Yes, he had.
Yes, but then...
And she had said, no, it's too fast. I'm dating this other guy. Whatever, I can't even remember. But, like...
cannot remember Vincent's name?
No, I remember Vincent's name, but I just don't remember how it all played out as far as the order of things. But
he didn't want to be the rebound is her issue. Yeah.
But he was obviously interested in her, obviously. And so when he's, like, doing all these, like, oh, I'm making the dinner or whatever. And according to this episode, they had a great time. So, yeah. I know you think I'm crazy, but really, that BLT was the final straw. So, and Adam was, this was definitely, in my opinion, his worst episode. It was really bad.
God, I'm so relieved. I am so relieved right now. I cannot tell you. Oh, man. So are you Team Vincent or are you Team Stephanie?
Is it just me or has Vincent not been on the show for like 2-3 episodes?
That's another thing I have issues with. Why is he all of a sudden gone? They decided to work together. He bought her a dang food truck and then all of a sudden he's gone.
Yeah.
Don't do this to Vincent. Don't do this to us. Don't do this to Stephanie. Don't stick her with Adam. Come on.
For Vincent.
I like Vincent, but I don't think that he and Stephanie have that great chemistry. It's always been my I don't know.
They do Stephanie wrong in this show. Stephanie just needs to find someone super nice.
She did with Ben. Why can't Ben come back?
Vincent is great, though. That's the thing. I love Ben. I miss Ben. But Adam is not a replacement for Ben. Vincent is good enough. Vincent can do this. And they're not giving him a chance. Mm-hmm. They keep putting him in the friend zone, and she doesn't need to do that. They could totally get together and have it work out, and they're... why is Adam getting any screen time?
She's not gonna end up with Vincent. He just hasn't been on the show enough. There's no way. So we're all gonna be disappointed by this, I think.
We will protest and boycott and start some kind of petition if you guys seriously stick her with Adam. Seriously. Anyone Good Witch people listening, we boycott and protest and cause a scene.
Burn Utica to the ground.
So Adam's fiance shows up and orders the insane BLT. And not only is this an insane BLT order, Stephanie knows that that is Adam's order. Oh my gosh, this man. And as she introduces herself as, maybe still her fiance. I forget exactly how she's still his fiance. And so that obviously concerns Stephanie. And because she's feeling like, the date went really great. And so then we're back up at the hospital. And we find out the Nick's friend,
Jacob.
Nick's friend Jacob has broken his leg and in a hockey accident and is just super down in the dumps, very upset. And he's going to miss his scholarship. He's never going to be able to play hockey in his mind. What's he going to do? And so that's kind of the start of that plot. And then we get a cute little scene between Abigail and Grace when she's like, you need to ask him out. You need to ask out. And then Grace is like, sends a text. Okay, I just did.
That is so youth.
Like, I know.
The 41-year-old woman in me is like, really? This is why I'll never date again. Ever. It's not even worth it. It's dumb.
But look at that. Grace goes and asks him out because she wants to ask him out. She doesn't trick him into making her dinner. So let's just
throw that out there. I just threw down my Sharpie like a mic. Yes, Georgia. Boom.
And so, yes, so she texts me out. And then we get this sort of plot starting where Martha and her husband and Sam and Cassie decide to play Spouse Trap. Now, Lisa, as the married person in this conversation, would you play Spouse Trap with your
husband? Yeah, because we're super competitive and we bring that competition to everything. And yes, I would.
Do you think that you would do well? Do you think you know what the other would say and things like that?
Yeah, because we've been together. Like, it's different for Sam and Cassie. They haven't been married very long, and they haven't really lived together. You know, my husband and I have been together. Oh my God. Like, before we got married, we were living together. Oops. So like 20 years. Yeah, I pretty much know.
Yeah.
It's still fun. Like, there's still some things where I'm like, you really like that?
Yeah.
Well, if I would have known that, this would have never happened.
Right.
Not even far between.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. And so we get a conversation between Adam and his fiance. The fiance says, can you ever forgive me for calling off the wedding? She got cold feet. And he says that that a part of me is always going to miss you, but he's got this, he's got this new interest. But he said, oh, I'll think about it. So basically most of this episode, he's kind of thinking about it. And what did you think of I know we don't like Adam, but what do we think of the fiance? We hate her too.
That's gutsy, dude. After like that long, like, it even freaks me out to go to the library with like a overdue book. And this woman like totally walked out on an engagement, and then 7 months later is like, so we're still engaged, right? And she's like, no. And then she's surprised about it all. That's gutsy, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
I can't even begin to imagine what that would be like if you're like, if by some miracle I actually get engaged, if like a week before the wedding he's like, maybe not, I can't even imagine how I could deal with that. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like that would be like maybe not as bad as like an outright divorce, but because I don't know, but maybe it would be so devastating. I can't even imagine.
I mean, I know it should be more about the relationship itself and whether, because I feel like if you at some point think it's not a good idea to get married, it's probably not a good idea to get married. But at some point, and this is probably not the biggest priority, a lot of money has been spent on a wedding.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you should get married just so you can save your deposits, but it becomes really painful, not only emotionally but monetarily. You're like, yeah, whoa, you could have told me this like eight
and embarrassing
ago.
It was really embarrassing.
So
I just keep coming back to the Yes I Do movie, Jen Lilly.
Every year
walk out on a different wedding with him and then they end up together, which goes against everything Hallmark teaches us. So I'm hoping still somehow that that's the kind of thing that will happen on here, because I'm hoping he takes her back and they go get married and Stephanie doesn't have to deal with them anymore, but I doubt it'll happen.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good comparison.
It's like haunting me. I keep thinking of
that movie.
I keep thinking of the people that
bought wedding gifts for them and spent money traveling to their new wedding venues. And they're like, just kidding.
Yeah, and like people that are in there, they have like full on wedding parties and stuff like that. Like, people are buying bridesmaid dresses. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That'd be, no, after the second one, I'd be like, no, are you sure? Because I'm not, no. I need, no.
Well, or at least like wear the same one over again. Like,
right. Don't have different themes.
Yeah. Everybody knows I wasn't crazy about that movie. So, anyway. But so that's interesting about Adam and the fiance. She was fine for me. Like, she was relatively, like, she did what she could, I guess, the actress in that part. What are you going to do? And so then we get the date between Luke and Grace. And that was pretty hilarious with Sam being the overprotective dad. Like, his grip is like
died laughing.
Seriously.
And and he's like, so telling us that his first date was with a girl's father was a lumberjack, and he's like, I'm a surgeon, I cut people open.
I seriously died laughing. His face, like, everything. And Luke's like, is he kidding? He's not kidding. No, he's not kidding. I loved it all.
It was perfectly executed because it's Sam either. And then you're like, oh, wow, okay, he's doing this. And then he's actually joking, but is he? It was, that was
really good.
A plus comedy, Good Witch.
And they're kind of two funny things. Like, well, first of all, so Lisa,
yes,
you have two daughters.
Yes.
When they get up to dating age, do you think that there'll be a similar type situation?
I've already told my husband, I'm like, don't do that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, we're not doing that. We're not pulling out fake shotguns and cleaning shotguns and having shells on the table.
Yeah.
We're not doing that. No.
Yeah. Good job, Lisa. Good job.
That's good.
I'm like, they're people. They want to go out.
Yeah.
But I'm also like super frank and open with my kids. So,
Well, we never really dated all that much, any of us kids, and in high school. So it wasn't really an issue. I mean, I went to the dances and stuff, but I feel like almost all the dating I did in high school was like part of a group. And so it wasn't really that different than me going out with my friends, you know? Yeah. And we never really had a curfew, which was the other interesting thing with that Sam kind of learns. Because do we kind of guess that maybe Grace didn't have a curfew?
Well, she's a senior in high school, and she's at 10 o'clock. Like, dude, I legit laughed out loud. But
I got a feeling that, maybe she didn't even have a curfew at all.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. The way her and Cassie looked at each other, like, huh?
Uh-huh. Which is interesting, especially when you consider that that later on, she's like, why don't you text me when you're running late? So maybe that's sort of more the relationship that she had with Grace as opposed to a curfew, just to text me if you're running late kind of a situation, which was kind of what we did with my family. Because I feel like personally, I mean, again, I'm not a parent, but like, I feel like there's no need to instate a rule if like it's not needed, you know what I mean? Like that's just asking for problems. And so if your kids aren't staying out late, there's no reason to have a curfew.
Right.
And so the only times that we ever stayed out late were like for a cast party or for an unusual event like that. And we would just tell our parents when we're coming home. And so we didn't necessarily need it just wasn't needed because we weren't staying out late.
Yeah.
Right. But I didn't have cell phones when I was dating in high school.
Yeah,
we did, but they were like 50 cents a minute. And my dad said, unless someone's physically like legit dying, do not use this phone. And so I'd have to find like a pay phone and be like, hey, the movie we want to go to gets out after midnight. Yeah. So we'll be home after that.
My mom did tell me, she said, you can always use me as an excuse. You can make me sound terrible. You can make me sound mean.
Yep.
You can make me sound like whatever you want. You can say my mother's going to blah, 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 blah. If you're ever in a situation, then you can always. And so there was only, because usually I was kind of the designated driver amongst my friends once we got older.
Right.
And I guess it's nice to have a Mormon around sometimes for certain things. And there was only one time when I don't think I had driven, and I was at a party and there was a whole group of people from the city that came that I didn't know and that made me very uncomfortable. And all of a sudden the party took like a really different tone.
Uh-oh.
And so I was like, My mom was really upset with me if I made some excuse. She's really upset with me if I stay up after 10 or something. I made some lame excuse. I'm like, I've got to call her and have her come pick me up.
You got to do what you got to do sometimes.
Yeah.
We figure that I've already told my kids, I'm like, when y'all get older, I'm not naive enough to think you're not going to go to parties. I was like, but we'll have a code word. All you got to do is text that word.
Yeah.
And I'll know that you need to go. And I'll come and get you. No questions asked. Doesn't mean you're not going to get in trouble, but no questions asked that night.
Well, and there's like parties and then there's parties. I don't know if that makes sense, but it
does. Yes, it does.
So anyway, did you have a curfew growing up, Georgia?
I never needed one. I didn't go to parties. I've never been that kind of person. My friends always had the curfews. Uh-huh. They always had to be home by a certain time. I had one who wasn't allowed to sleep over ever, even like older. And so there was never a need for one. It was honestly more like, are you sure you don't want to go? It sounds like it might be fun. I'm like, no, Mom, I'm good. And if I super didn't want to go, she's would do the thing. Yeah, you can tell him I said no. Do you not want to go? And I'm like, no. Okay, yeah, tell him I said you can't. And my mom's like the coolest, like not most laid back, but she trusts her kids. Mm-hmm. She talks with us. You know, it's a very good relationship.
Yeah.
But I could make her be the bad guy and she didn't care at all.
Yeah.
But no, we just never needed a curfew because we are not party people in any way.
Yeah, that's the same with us. It's the same with us. That's probably the most social of my siblings because they were kind of home, but both of them, my older siblings were kind of both homebodies, and I was definitely the one. But most of the stuff that I did was at school. Like I was in the school play. I was in the swim team. I was, you know, all the stuff at school facility. So
yeah,
I don't know. It wasn't that often that I really was at parties. So.
I had a curfew.
You did?
I did.
Yeah.
Oh, Lisa, you actually had a social life.
Well, no, not really. It's just once you have a long-term boyfriend, then that curfew becomes a thing. So that way you're not out with your long-term boyfriend doing things after certain times. Yeah. Anything after midnight is probably not a good idea. But and also, it's not like I had a whole lot because my dad was actually our head baseball coach for our high school. So not a lot of people really wanted to ask out the coach's daughter. Especially people that were on his team. He was not only our head baseball coach, but he was also one of our football coaches. So that encompassed a lot of the dating pool.
Yeah, he squashed your odds. That's a bummer. Yeah.
So whenever somebody would call, I'd find out later. And they'd be like, well, I tried to call your house. I'm like, really? I'd ask my dad. He'd be like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, Dad. Really?
So we get back to she goes on the date. No, it's great. Really good stuff. And so we get back to the spouse game. And so Cassie's pet peeve is that, like I said, that he doesn't text her when he's running late. And the Tinsdales, they know all the answers about each other. And I did think it was interesting that Martha's favorite holiday is Valentine's Day. Yeah.
Interesting.
She's a romantic at heart. We all knew that. And then we found out that Sam's complaint, I guess, about Cassie is that he doesn't get enough time with her, doesn't get enough of her. And, I mean, she does have two jobs like everybody in Middleton, so that's probably part of it. But this seemed to really surprise them. And also, at one point, I think she put up for the thing that really annoys Sam about her is that she doesn't have tea. And like, if there was any human being on the planet that would have tea at all times, it would be Cassie Nightingale. Like, well,
I thought that it was only tea in the house. Wasn't that it?
No coffee.
I thought it said not no tea.
I thought it said only tea.
Oh, maybe I read it wrong. Because I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
No, that was completely illogical.
Just like brewing stuff all the time.
But when she went to the bistro, did Stephanie just pour her a hot cup of water and like not a tea bag and not coffee or anything? She just poured, I swear it was just hot water. It's not relevant to anything, but struck me as very odd.
It's probably always water.
But you can see it.
But it makes sense with what you're saying, though. If I must have read it wrong because of the whole French press scene at the beginning of the episode. Mm-hmm. I read it wrong. Sorry about that. We'll find out on the date between Abigail and Donovan at the Davenport's house that Violet Merrick and Nathaniel Davenport burned down the house to the ground when they were dancing. That's part of the curse. So that'll be interesting how that all comes into play. Mm-hmm. And then there's the whole like Middleton well that her husband was going to have torn down.
Right.
But So there's that's all in there too. I don't know. It's very interesting. And but then we also get, so Nick's friend, Jacob, is just so sad about this happening. And Sam gets the a professional hockey player to come and encourage him and sign his cast and everything. And is that a player that we're supposed to know about? I know nothing about hockey.
So. It's a made-up guy.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, sure. I know. I follow hockey to an extent. I did not recognize him at all.
Okay.
It was a made-up dude.
Just okay. Making sure.
But they brought in a guy that really looks like a hockey player. And I was like, look at that. He could play.
Yeah. They really did. So that was a nice moment for Sam.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah. And Abigail says to Donovan's mother that I believe two people that are meant to be together will find a way, legend or not. And so there you go. And Abigail tells somebody, I can't remember, that she says, what if she's right? Oh, no, it's to Donovan. And that's when the pitcher falls down to the ground and crashes. Right.
Which, so, I mean, Stephanie's house is nice. Not Stephanie, Abigail. How did Abigail get that? Did she get that house in an episode that we didn't?
Isn't that Sam's old house when he moved out? He moved into Gray House. Didn't she take his house?
Oh, yeah. Because she was living at Gray House for a while. Yeah.
Yes. And I think when Sam and Cassie got married, she moved into Sam's house because she brought something over to him. And she said, when she brought over his old photos. And she was like, hey, you left this in the move. And it's that picture of him from high school.
Okay, because I saw that part. I didn't make the connection for some reason. They didn't go like, hey, this is where she's living now. Okay.
I think she's living in his house.
It's pretty. Like it.
Mm-hmm. So we see Luke on the phone. At first, just we don't see who he's talking to. We just hear him say, I haven't found anything about Abigail yet. So there we go. We kind of get the pot boiling. And we also get a cute thing where she says that... I think it is Cassie and Martha are talking. She says, are you married to the love of your life? Then you've already won. Marriage is an adventure.
No, that was Tom to Sam. Tom is so adorable.
That was cute. That was really cute.
I love him.
Yeah.
I do. I love Tom.
He's like Mr. Martha to me. I was his name.
He made her chocolates for Valentine's Day. Yeah. I mean, honestly.
Okay, and so then Cassie goes and talks to Stephanie, and she tells her, when it comes to answers of the heart, the answer isn't always obvious. So there you go.
You know what's not obvious? Vincent. He hasn't been around in a while.
Yeah, it's true. So we had, I thought the whole date between Grace and Luke, was, really cute. I thought that all, like the whole roller skating rink and her falling and I don't know, just, it was a cute date.
It was like perfect teen date. They did a good job.
Yeah. And then you got a little kiss between them. Pretty exciting. And so Cassie decides to cancel her plans so that then they can go on a walk, but then Martha's like, why don't we play this game some more instead? And that was fun. And we get a scene between, because Grace comes back and the Martha's there, and she finds out that Grace and Luke went on this date. Martha says, as your employer, not sure it is ethical for me to pry in your personal lives.
That was amazing.
He called him our Luke, which just cracked me up. I was like,
And as if, when did that ever stop Martha before? This is the same woman who had like the comptroller, the poor comptroller on the show.
Like, it was awesome.
I loved it.
Then within the same breath, she was like, but since y'all are interns, I'll allow it. Let's go.
Yeah.
I loved having her in there for that kind of stuff, though. It was like the girl talk thing, but with Martha. She never gets to just... It was so sweet.
Yes.
It was so sweet to have her included. I love it. I wish that they, now I want her to be involved in more stuff in a more sort of heartfelt way instead of just funny. I love it. Mm-hmm. It was adorable.
Yeah. Any involvement with Martha is fine by me. And so then Sam and Adam are talking, and they're talking about the ex. He says, well, what's the problem? And then he says, oh, but I like Stephanie. And he's saying, well, what's the problem? So they're kind of going back and forth there. And Sam is really good at advice. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, because he should have told Adam to go be with his fiance.
He would probably be pretty high up on my list. I mean, obviously you'd want to talk to Cassie because she like knows everything, but Sam is a good listener.
Yes, Sam in every other instance is great at it. I love Sam all the rest of the time, just not this time.
Okay, fair enough. Adam comes in and tells Stephanie, all I can think about is you, and they kiss. And then it's cute between Cassie and Sam. She says, they might have won the game, but I got the prize.
Oh, especially since they let them win.
Yeah, and you see Martha like giving a little like.
It was so cute.
Stairs. It was so cute. And Abigail and Donovan toss the coin in the well, make a wish. And so, I mean, are you still, do you like Donovan? Do we all like Donovan? Are we team Donovan?
No.
You don't like Donovan. What do you like about Donovan?
I don't like that whole storyline.
Oh, why?
Because, okay, I think I've mentioned this before in our private group chat, but I'll bring it out in public now. Because I really was very excited when Abigail was mayor because... Yeah. I thought that gave her a really good storyline, and I thought maybe it would make her, I don't know, like grow into herself more and her character and her her role in the show. And then it ended up, all of that was in service to finding a man.
Yeah, I hear
you. That whole storyline, it all built up like she was going to do all this stuff, and maybe she would have really liked being mayor, and maybe even though through the frustrations, she would have found like a new like thing for herself, and it would have forced Martha to like restructure her life a little bit. And I'm not saying it should have lasted forever, but in the end, the whole thing gets resolved so that way she can be with Donovan. And he is the one that set it up. He redid the town lines so Martha come back so he could be with her. And I'm like, so this whole storyline was just all coming down to her getting a boyfriend.
Well, but it was supposed to be because she didn't want to be mayor, really. And Lisa, I'm totally, totally on that same team. I wanted her to stay mayor for way longer. I mean, forever would have been fine with me. But Mayor Martha's a part of the show. I get it. I love Mayor Martha. But
I know that she didn't want to be mayor. But I think I probably would have liked it a little bit more if it hadn't have been Donovan that forced it so that way he could just ask her out.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I completely
That's fair. I do agree, but I look at that more as a loss for Martha than a loss for Abigail. it is a loss for both in a way, but I just felt like this season this episode was kind of standalone as far as Martha I think is concerned, but I just felt like this season they've dangled so many carrots in front of us as far as Martha goes. Yeah, and then pulled them back. Okay. There were so many plots that could have been so fun, but then they only lasted like one episode, two episodes. Like her show could have lasted and been a really fun thing. Martha 2.0 could have been really fun. Martha in Blairsville could have been really fun. shown character growth as well.
Yeah.
Because she was learning to
embrace life outside of being Mayor Martha.
Well, and also like learning to be humble. Like when she gave the speech congratulating Abigail on the banquet or whatever, that thing with the fundraiser, like that was character growth on her part. So I think that they just, I wish they had a little more courage in some of those plot lines to stretch them out a little bit more, but
I mean,
sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, just to build on what you were saying, if they had Abigail care more about maybe the town and other people, that would have been good character development. There was so much opportunity there. And it was just like, no, that's not who they are. Squash it. And I get why that's frustrating, because it was frustrating.
Yeah.
For me, it's because throughout the whole show, not just the season, you know, Abigail has always had these almost starts with men. And I've always felt like she needed somebody who would give her a run for her money, because she's always got that underlying agenda. She's always got that like kind of smirky, like, oh, I know what's really going to happen. And so I've always wanted for her somebody who would give her a run for her money, which I thought that's what Donovan was going to be, was her match. But then when it turned out that he just kind of came in and saved the day, that was disappointing to me for what I said earlier. But like you guys said, this was a chance for Abigail to have some character growth where, yeah, she didn't want the job, but what would have happened if she stayed in it just long enough to care about the job? And then when it was taken away from her through mm-hmm. other means, for her to realize, ooh, I kind of liked public service. Yeah. Ooh, I kind of liked doing stuff for the town. Now what do I do? Like, go back to the flower shop. But, you know, just to all of a sudden at the end just be like, oh, you have your old job back, and oh, it's because I redid the lines. Oh, now can I ask you out?
Yeah. No, yeah. I get that. Makes sense. I hadn't thought of it quite that way, but you're right. I agree.
Would you have liked Donovan? Like, do you like him separately as a character on his own, or are you just, like, not happy with him at all?
No, I do like him as a character. I think that's just, I just need to get over how they got together. I just think that I need to get over it, but that was the frustrating part. And so I'm still, in my mind, I'm still like, this guy.
But then, as we alluded to earlier, the very end of the episode, we find out who Luke has been talking with, and you see Donovan's mother over his shoulder, and he's like, he's losing his guts. He's saying, I don't want to do this anymore. And, you know, she says, I want to find out if there's a way to break the curse. And she says she's going to pay for his tuition. After all, we are family. I just hope you'll reconsider. And so everybody listening, you'll have to weigh in the comment section or on Twitter if you think she is a deliciously evil villain or she is, like, good at heart, like a traditional Hallmark villain. So let us know if you're Team Georgia or Team Rachel on this interpretation.
But let it be known I was correct on the intentions here, the whole plan that was going on, just in case that counts for anything.
Right. You were.
Sometimes I have a problem where I want these shows to be something that they're not ever going to be. And that's my own flaw. But she was fun. She was delicious. She was, I enjoyed her. And I thought the actress did a good job.
No, she was great. I mean, I still think she's probably at least a little bit evil. You have to be a little bit evil to manipulate your nephew like that.
Yeah.
For his tuition. Like, the actions alone are really awful. But is it, you know, the means justify the end? Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
So we will see. I'm sure we'll find out sooner, pretty soon. Because what, we have five episodes left, I think? Four episodes left? There's 11 episodes in the season, so 11 or 12. So I think, anyway. So we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. So let us know if you're listening what you thought of the episode. It was a pretty fun one, I thought. I enjoyed it. And it had a little bit of everything. And it finally got me off Team Adam. So everybody will be joyed by his insane BLT order. I will never forgive him. So
let's all celebrate.
So Georgia, where can people find you?
I am on Twitter at Georgia Speech.
Great. And Lisa, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Girl Gone Hallmark.
Great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes and YouTube. So check that out. And Rotten Tomatoes. I would love for you to check out that. And then you can follow the podcast at Homeworkies Podcast, Homeworkies Pod, all over social media, and on iTunes and YouTube. If you're listening on iTunes, if you can give us your ratings and reviews, we really appreciate it. And if you're listening on YouTube, if you can give us a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel, we really appreciate that as well. and consider becoming a patron. We have so much fun with our patrons. We talk about The Good Witch. We talk about all the different shows, and we have a lot of fun. So check that out. It'll be a link in the description. And also leave us your feedback if you're outraged by anything that we say. We love hearing from all of you guys. And you can send that feedback to feedback@hallmarkiespodcast.com. You can send in a voicemail at 801-855-6407. So thanks so much, you guys, for coming on and talking Good Witch. And we will talk to you all next week. Bye.
Bye. This podcast was brought to you by Hallmarkies for Hallmarkies. For more information about how you can leave your mark on Hallmarkies, visit hallmarkiespodcast.com. Link is in the description.